You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
James Shaw was ejected from his role as Green Party co-leader on Saturday following a leadership vote during the Green Party annual general meeting. The decision came down by a minority vote, with 30% of the party choosing to vote against him. 32 out of 107 delegates voted at the party's online annual general meeting, and this crosses more than the 25% threshold necessary under the Green rule. Mightima Davidson is to remain the sole leader during this time, and at this stage, prospective candidates will have a week to put their name forward, followed by another 4 weeks of voting. James Shaw has an opportunity to put his name back into the ballot, and if he's the only candidate, he will need to regain the support of 75% of the party. Now, he had confirmed his bid to contest the leadership following his ousting after consultation with party members and the like. And during the press conference confirming his position this morning, he stated that we can transform New Zealand and create a country that works for everyone. Talking about his focuses on poverty, protection of the environment, climate change and social justice, saying that there is a lot more work to do. And that as long as these challenges exist, his job is not done. And saying that it shows how much members can push on climate change, wildlife, and poverty. And that he also mentioned how polling is up more than election night 2020 and even more from election night 2017. And that he wants to remain a united front with the party, making sure they're able to last throughout this Labour government. He's also mentioned how he has been at times frustrated that they have not gone as fast or as further with the climate change policies that he's been trying to push through, and that they need more Green Party MPs in Parliament, and that he's taken in and he is listening to the members across the country. And he has also said that he is happy for, that he doesn't want to speak on behalf of other colleagues and let them have the right to bid for leadership themselves. And I thought I'd take this opportunity to speak to Professor Lara Greaves on the matter. And I spoke to her before the press conference, so some of it can be pretty speculative. But here's the interview. With James Shaw being ousted as Green Party leader, would you be able to discuss a little bit about how the leadership vote works?
Well, the Greens have quite democratic and open procedures, so different parties have the rights to set their own rules and their own sort of, just their own rules for governing, for leadership, for membership and so on. And in this case, the Green Party has a system where leaders have to maintain the confidence of the party, and in this case, more than 25% of the delegates of the Green Party at their annual conference have said that they don't have confidence in Shaw. So that's meant Shaw has vacated the leadership position. Now, that's a slightly different system to quite a few of the different political parties, but in this case it means that Shaw is no longer co-leader. So now what happens is over this next week, the nominations for co-leader are open, so anyone can put their name forward, any Green Party member, and we'll see who comes forward to challenge Shaw. He has said this morning that he's putting himself forward again for the leadership, and then after that, if someone contests it, there will be a leadership election. And ultimately, what it's going to come down to is whether someone like Chloe Swarbrick, and very popular Auckland Central MP, or someone similar challenges for the leadership, because otherwise it does seem as though it will end up being just a bit of drama, a bit of admin, rather than an actual leadership contest.
With the fact that it only means 25% can determine the rest of the vote, is this a case of where the minority vote should be that low, or should it be a process that they review? Because it sounds like it's a very mixed reception on the matter.
Well, I think fundamentally is that the Greens are a party of the left. We see that with Green parties all around the world, that they have this pro-environmental and the social justice platform. That means there are considerable activist elements within the party. And those are really hard to reconcile because those same people, you know, the whole point of a political party is that you gain political power. And those same people will say, well, you guys are selling out on your principles. So it's really hard to kind of reconcile all those people under the umbrella of a political party. That's something that's kind of more unique to the left, that you have those anti-establishment activist elements. Now, in the case of the Greens, they may wish to keep that rule. That rule might be like really about who they are as a party, whereas other parties would probably kind of wince and go, oh, we'd never have that rule. So I think ultimately each party gets to set their own rules. The Green Party has these types of rules that seem to be a little bit like the tail wagging the dog, or like a minority controlling the majority of the party. But that's ultimately up to them, and that's actually quite aligned with what the Green Party values are. I think a lot of us try to, or a lot of people, I'm saying us as in people in the media and commentary, try to realign them with the centre, but actually the Green Party really is a party of the left, and part of that is being anti-establishment and actually having minority rule in a way.
You've mentioned that Chloe specifically could be a good bid for leadership. Do you think that she would be ready in terms of her political experience to step up?
Well, I'm seeing some really interesting discourse come through around Chloe Forbrick. So she's been an MP. This is her second term as an MP. And she, of course, won the Auckland Central electorate. She's championed a number of issues. She's put forward a couple of private members' bills, one on greyhound racing and one on alcohol advertising reform. And she's, you know, championed the cannabis referendum. I think it's really interesting, the discourse around her, because people are questioning whether, you know, she can juggle being a great Auckland Central MP and being party leader. But we never see these questions of men. We actually don't tend to see these questions as much of older women, although we tend to. So I think that, and everyone's kind of using this discourse, but it does reflect that kind of political double standard. We're a young woman, even though Chloe Forbrick is a superstar, we're young women are kind of challenged in a different way. And it's disappointing, but just kind of what we come to expect from the mainstream political discourse.
Yep. What is the next steps in terms of the voting and the ballot?
In the next week, the different candidates put their name forward. And I think we've got two possibilities there. One possibility is someone like Chloe Forbrick, or an MP in Parliament, challenges James Shaw, which will probably cause a closer run race. The other possibility is that a delegate or party member outside of Parliament challenges James Shaw, as we've seen in the past. And we've actually seen Green Party co-leadership positions be challenged from outside Parliament before. So that's something that could happen. I think that would be a less kind of feasible challenge in that case. So we'll see that closes in a week. And then after that, it's about a month, I think, of voting where Green Party members can vote for the co-leader. And so, yeah, then that will just be kind of a democratic elected process. Generally, what the Greens tend to do in the leadership contest is hold Zoom sort of interview type things and debate, because they are quite, again, an open party where they, you know, like to have these leadership type elections compared to other parties who might just let caucus decide. So we can kind of expect to see a little bit more drama on that front if a sitting MP does challenge Shaw. And then once all's said and done, there's the possibility of either a new Green Party leader or Shaw to just kind of hold on to the leadership. In that case, I think, because what generally happens when political party leaders are challenged, people will then kind of murmur and mumble about, oh, well, they're not a popular leader, or they don't have the support of the party. So ultimately, no matter what happens, this really does undermine the stability of the Green Party and really undermine James Shaw's leadership.
And with it being a year out before elections, how could this kind of discourse hurt the Green Party in terms of their viability as a coalition partner?
So I want to remind everyone of the 2014 ad that the National Party put out, and there was this idea of Labour being in this boat, and a bunch of minor parties kind of also rowing the boat, and the boat going in no clear direction. And so people like National, you know, the opposition parties, will try to paint any kind of future Labour Party coalition as potentially unstable, because the way the polling looks at the moment is Labour would definitely need the Greens to govern next election, and would probably need Te Pāti Māori as well, and potentially anyone else who would come in and be involved, any other parties that come in from outside Parliament. So that kind of makes some voters think, oh, that's a bit unstable. That being said, a lot of left-wing voters are not as worried about instability. Government instability as right-wing voters. We tend to think that just profiling them based on some of the political psychology literature. Basically, all this does is kind of make the party seem a bit unstable. But all of that being said, actually, this is probably the right time to change leaders. We've seen real mixed results for changing leaders in the run-up to an election. So the Green Party changing leaders in 2022 before the 2023 election probably would make a bit of sense there. If that's what happens, there's enough time for whoever the new co-leader is to really kind of, you know, do the pandemic version of like shaking hands and kissing babies and kind of getting out there as leader and having a few policy things, a few press releases and fronting and really having the public get to know them. It's a good amount of time before an election.
James Shaw has confirmed that he will stay in the climate change minister position. Will the shake-up for the Green Party leadership affect his role?
I can't really see James Shaw's ministerial portfolios being really shaken by this, because Jacinda Ardern, Prime Minister Ardern, has said that she supports him. He's proven himself in people's eyes as a minister, so that's not necessarily going to change much. I think that if someone else came in as co-leader, if you did have someone like Chloe Swarbrick as co-leader, the idea that they're not a minister where the previous two leaders are ministers, that would be a bit awkward and might be a case of people saying, well, Ardern needs to negotiate something with the Greens and make Swarbrick a minister, even, you know, one outside cabinet like the Green leaders are. So that will be something where there might be some calls. But generally, I think that Andrew Little has been a really good precedent in recent years for someone stepping down as party leader and then going on to hold ministerial portfolios while a more charismatic, in their case, leader comes forth.
James Shaw's set to hold a press conference in the next 20 minutes on the matter. What are you expecting to come out of that, aside from his continued assurance that he might go for the leadership position?
Well, it does seem, based on his Radio New Zealand interview this morning, that he will be standing for leader again. He's probably spent the last 24 hours phoning up his caucus, phoning up key people in the party, and just making sure he has that support. I think that we really just need to watch who might be standing against him. If it's a candidate from the Green Left, people have mentioned Te Anō Tuiono, that might show a lot of fractions in the party. If it's someone like Chloe Swarbrick, then I think she has a real shot of taking the leadership from him. But it's ultimately going to all come down to who runs against him. It may be in the end that actually this has been a lot of ruckus over nothing and that he just continues on as leader, that he actually goes for leader uncontested. But in that case, actually, that's just going to show the Greens up to be a bit unstable. So I guess we just really have to wait. I mean, there's so many factors at play, ultimately, and ultimately there's just a lot of factors at play here. We just need to wait and see.
That was Professor Lara Greed speaking to me about James Shaw's ousting as a Green Party co-leader and whether there could be next steps, noting that the interview that we had was recorded before the press conference.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.